morning to hinder our mind and our heart towards God. If we could just take a moment and just ask God to, Lord, it is my desire, Lord, not just to be in your house, but to turn my heart towards you, to turn my mind towards you. In Jesus' name. For your will to be done in this place, life here today in Jesus' name. Can we pray for this together? Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing a body of believers here together, Lord. Gathered in your name with one plan and one purpose to be in one mind and one accord in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done in this place today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit that we already feel here today. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we bind any distractions, anything, Lord, that would hinder, Lord, for your will to be done in Jesus' name, Lord. And may your kingdom be loosed in this place, Lord. May your kingdom be loosed in our hearts and our minds and the assembly together. In Jesus' name, may your will be done in this place. Let's worship the Lord together.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory. Thank you. from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save.
Blood still works. It's never lost its power. We're going to go into our Sunday school portion this morning. I'm going to have you open your Bibles. We're going to go in a lesson text this morning. Today's lesson is about being unified in Christ, the heart and hope of a Christian, in our series, Sunday school adult series this morning. We're going to do some reading, but I want to start out with some reading, and I'll have you sit down, and I'll read some more. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 and 12, and 25 and 27, it says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chole, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. You could be seated right now. I got thinking about this. Somebody was talking, and Paul got wind of this and says, you know what? I don't like what I'm hearing. And he addressed it to the people. He addressed it out of love. I believe it was a tough love. He wanted to see something resolved. He goes, there's some division here. Some of you are from, if we could just put it in our time right now, some of you are from the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, and some of you are from Section 4, maybe some of you from Section 12, maybe some of you are from Bartlett, or some of you are from Addison. You know, we are all part of the one body. I remember I remember being filled with the Holy Ghost in the first week. I can't remember if I shared this with the church or not, but I remember going to Portillo's one. It was a Saturday. It was literally a few days after that was the following Saturday after the Sunday I received the Holy Ghost. I remember walking into Portillo's, sitting down, having something to eat, and I saw a group of people coming in the door, and I'm like, those are people. I'm in with them. And I was so excited. I about jumped over the top of the table. I didn't want to pull my seat out or nothing. I just was so excited. I am part of that body that they're part of. I never saw them before. I don't know what church they go to, but man, there's a connection there. And I'm so thankful for the body of Christ that I get to go to Youth Congress and see over 30-something thousand people get together. And it was so powerful. 6 staff workers received the Holy Ghost that night. 1 that was ready to commit suicide, but God filled them with his Spirit. There's just power in the spirit of unity. I want to keep reading and go to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 and 13. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, remember that word, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Till we come again into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. In Philippians also 1:27, it says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our focus verse is in Ephesians 4 and 3, in endeavoring. And I got thinking about that word, and a lot of times we assume certain words that we know the meaning of words. And we were, during the men's fellowship Thursday night, we had Brother Wallace officiate we were playing categories, and we're like, well, does this fit the meaning of the word that was what was that one word? Notorious. He had him look up the word notorious, and we're like, by definition, by assumption, we could be totally off, but by definition, some of us got it right. And I got thinking about this word endeavoring. Endeavoring is to seriously or continually try to do something. It means I got to strive to do this. I have to reach, I have to make an attempt to work with a set purpose. It sounds a lot like effort to me. It sounds like there's a lot that's going to distract me from being unified. I'm gonna come across some roadblocks. I'm going to come across some walls. And I'm going to come across some mindsets that's going to cause me to have division. And I'm going to be around some brothers and sisters where I'm going to sense some things where they hit roadblocks. And they're going to hit some walls. And you know what? They're going to sense they've hit division, whether they know it or not. But there's a unity in the body of Christ that when we come together, it's a very powerful, a moving force. It isn't just isn't something that stands still, but it is something that is moving, that is very powerful. Jesus Christ prayed for his, for unity for his sheep. And in Genesis 11, it says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing shall be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Their motives and their intentions were for self-gratification, to make a name for himself. But if we take that in context, where when they were in one mind and one accord, with one voice, the powerful things God said himself, there is nothing that they can't do when they are unified. When they speak with one voice and they have one purpose and one plan, they will reach to the skies with that tower that they're going to build. But God knows our intentions and our thoughts. And he goes, that's not my purpose and my plan for you to be full of yourself and do this. Tom Brown observed, he said, there's a law called synergism. This law states that when the joint action of agents are brought together, they increase each other's effectiveness. This law was first introduced to me, he said, when I heard the story of one of the top bridge builders in the country. He built one of the biggest and strongest bridges in the world, and he exclaimed that nothing could bring down this bridge. This bridge would withstand the weight of almost innumerable cars. The only thing that the designer said that could destroy this bridge is if a few hundred men walked across it marching in unison. So he gave the warning that if any group marched across the bridge, whether it be soldiers or a band playing, that the marchers would have to stagger their steps or else the bridge would collapse. When the body of Christ is truly unified, nothing can halt the power of the church performing God's will and purpose on this earth. This also reminds me of something, and we keep going back to this when Brother Vaughn was here. The law of accumulation. One or two people crossing a bridge simultaneously, synchronized, isn't going to do much damage to that bridge. But for a few hundred people gathered together in his name, step by step, side by side. Wow. Bridges unite. But bridges also, from where we at, keep us from where we need to be. Bridges and walls can divide us. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus prayed this prayer for us in John 17:21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I got thinking about this. I don't want to jump ahead of myself here. Let's take, for instance, the body, the body of Christ. There are many members, and one isn't more important than the other. And if I could probably get some group participation, I got some written down, maybe some I missed, but as an usher, that's very important to have in the church. To have a greeter, that the first impression that you, that any new person that comes in the house of God, that when we come in here, sees that greeter, they will never forget the first time somebody met them with a smiling face. I remember the first time I walked into a church, and it wasn't even this one, that the look that I saw on that person's face and how welcoming. It is very unwelcoming in this world. We get shunned by a lot of things and a lot of people, but to be welcome in the house of God, that is something that stays with us. We have somebody that works on the sound. We have a Sunday school teacher. We have a Sunday school helper. We have a worship leader. We have a musician, multiple musicians. We have praise singers. We have a pastor. Anybody else have anything that they could probably add to this that I could be missing? A youth leader. What's that? Pastor, okay. Anything else would be helpful. Church cleaner, somebody that mows the lawn, praise the Lord. What else could we? Prayer warrior, somebody that intercedes. How about this? The one that encourages you and lets you know that you're not in this alone. We have no idea the battles that some of us face before we come here. And to see the love of Christ in action when we are here and when the body functions. And if I stub my foot, my whole body's going to feel it. But if somebody comes in here with a cold, say spiritually speaking, and something's not right with them, if we are truly unified, we're going to sense everything that is going on. We could be sitting over here, but if something over there isn't right with an individual, it may cause us to want to go over there and ask, are you okay? Can I help you with anything? I'm here for you. I love you. You're in the right place at the right time. That's the body working and functioning together. I'm so thankful for that because we all are here to encourage at times, and we're all here at times to be also encouraged. In Jesus' name. Unity in the individual. The body of Christ is comprised of individuals. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemaker. In this world where everything seems like chaos, when there is no peace, but there is division and there's contentions throughout the day when we go to work, and when we go to the store and you see tensions rise, you watch videos on Facebook where people are getting fights in the stands of a preseason football game. Like, what is going on here? What is all this? But blessed are the peacemakers. A peacemaker is somebody that's going to take an effort, and they are going to go against the current to maintain peace, to be Christ's representative. Paul stresses this unity within the individual, which actually is peace with oneself. In the prayer that he prayed to the Thessalonians, and that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's unity within myself. And unity within a home is something something that's been under attack for a very long time. We've seen the Twin Towers get hit in 9/11, but the Twin Towers in our home is a mother and a father, and they have taken a hit. It seems like an epidemic that just is mind-blowing at sometimes. When you sit back and think about it, you're like, what is going on? And it's not just in the world, but it's in the church. I'm like, the enemy is doing everything it can to divide, and he'll try every vice, and he'll try every individual to get. He will try a child to come against his parents, or a parent to come against a child, or a husband against the wife, or a wife against the husband. And if he's doing that in the home, he's going to try to do that in the church. It is so important. And I felt like there was something that was trying to hinder me from even coming up here this morning. And that is, what a powerful thing if we were just unified together. When we have this back-to-school rally, we are unified with the Sunday school department. When we go to the gathering at the end of the month for She's for Christ, we are unified in Jesus' name for God's kingdom to move forward and to grow and to expand. When we walk in unison step by step, that bridge, think of it as something that needs to come down. There are certain bridges that we need to get from one place to another. But the enemy, don't be deceived. He has a bridge too, and he's terrified. He goes, if God's people are unified, if they're walking step by step in singleness of mind, in singleness of heart, my kingdom is going to suffer great loss. May there be just a spirit of unity that just carries throughout this the rest of the day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but Sister Davis asked if we could pray before service, and we needed to pray. There are some things that we need set and grafted and etched in this heart and then in this mind this morning that's going to carry us beyond today. But today, we can't even care about what's going to happen in the next half hour or the next hour and a half or tomorrow. But Lord, let there be a mind of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that there we'd be one mind and one accord in Jesus' name, that there be no divisions, that we would bind the spirit in division and loose the spirit of liberty and peace and unity in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. unity in the home. Moms and dads are getting hit, but it isn't just mom and dads are getting hit, but it's the whole morality of what a mother and who a mother and who a father is. We see it with same-sex marriages 20, 30 years ago. It was so unheard of and so absurd to even let that enter to your mind, but now it is so commonplace, and it's happening so quickly. Talk about division. This is insane. But the enemy knows the power of unity. If they can get everybody to think like over here and to get these million man or million woman marches, how much more powerful would be the unity of the church when we get together in one mind and one accord? And it only takes a few hundred people to just walk step by step to take that bridge down. It doesn't take that many. You can see hundreds of cars on that bridge at one time that weigh way more than 10 to 20 times more than that vehicle. But step by step, side by side, hand by hand, you're my brother, you're my sister, we will walk hand by hand, side by side, unified in Jesus' name, for strongholds to be brought down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For the kingdom to advance also. Strongholds to be brought down, kingdom to advance. Parents should conduct the lives in a way that their children would have confidence in them. This requires mothers and fathers to live a consistent godly life. Children are best led by example. Parents should be able to say to their children, follow me as I follow Christ. Lead by example. Don't just say it, but live it and do it. Today, more than ever, young people need firm guidance, love, and understanding. Parents must provide this in a home. Children feel most secure when they see their father and their mother showing respect for each other. In Ephesians 5, 21 through 25, it says, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means to submit your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, and Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so should you wives submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for it. It's a powerful statement, but I've seen this scripture taken out of context and where somebody would bully pulpit those first few verses, or the man would say, you know what, the Bible says you need to submit to me. But in return, a woman should say, you know what, I'm not perfect, and God says, commands you to love me. So you got one up on him, because the woman always has that last word in that scripture. But the man always has the last word, which is, yes, dear. I don't know if you ever walked into somebody that lives a Christian lifestyle and walk into a Christian home, and it just feels so tranquil. It's like an oasis from the world, where you feel that God's peace is just there and it's just resting upon that place. And there's a spirit of unity there, and there's just a spirit of peace. It's something that can be described, and it is something that we need more of. When we welcome people for the first time into our home, and that same feeling when people come into the house of God for the first time, to have that spirit of unity and a spirit of fellowship with like-minded people, in Jesus' name. Unity in the church. I'm sure there were some good people who left when started out with some good intentions. But unity requires effort. The early church, like the churches today, was made up of individuals from many walks of life with different personalities. The secret of success early in the church was the ability of individual members to forget petty differences and selfish motives and work together with one accord. They were daily with one accord in the temple, and they did eat with gladness and singleness of heart. Some may have liked hunting, some may have liked fishing, some may have liked garage sailing, some may have come from maybe a rather well-rounded background, some may have been nurtured, some may have been fatherless, some may have been motherless, but they all came together. Some may have and some may have not, but they put those aside and they used what they had and they put it together and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. In Jesus' name. Unity in an organization, and this is pretty exciting, is when the local assembly in which members work together in harmony can accomplish great things for the Lord. Many assemblies working together in harmony can accomplish great things. With a total united effort, it becomes possible to extend the arm of the church to ministers to the needs of the whole world, like she's for Christ. I remember also before I even got into church in the late 90s, this is about 20, it was literally within 20 years ago. Does anybody ever heard of Church in a Day, where the church goes and I believe that's a Sheesh for Christ funded thing also, where they'll build a church on site on a building, and one day they have it on the roof, and they're putting shingles on, and they're running wires and plumbing and drywall's being hung. And last year during General Conference, they did that throughout the week. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, was the church in Decal, Brother Davis, was that Church in a Day? Because it's very similar. And I remember Brother Davis asking me to come over there and help out with that. And I always enjoyed helping other people, even before I was in church. And I enjoyed spending time with Brother Davis and doing stuff like that. And he gave up and sacrificed a lot of his time. And that's why I have so much respect for the man. But today, that church had a children's revival, and I was seeing on post where multiple children would come that wouldn't normally come to this revival. And if there wasn't a church there on 7th Street where people sacrificed and people gave up their time and their effort and their money to come together, children wouldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost this week. And kids would have never had a place to go to. That's incredible. Also, She's for Christ offering, they had it during Youth Congress on Friday night. There was over 34,000 people, and most of them were youth. There were some old people. I don't know if anybody saw this of the elderly couple. One was in the walker. I wish the whole church would see this. He was one of those walkers where you can kind of go forward, but it has a seat to sit down. And with everything he could, if he could just raise his foot up an inch or two, and his other foot up an inch or two, he was worshiping with what energy and what ability that he had in his body. But when they asked for the offering to take place that night of 34,000 people, some that with budgets and some that didn't have jobs and some that may have stayed up for a very long time, that have sacrificed, maybe parents have sacrificed, that night when the total numbers came in, $520,000 was brought. That is amazing. Of the sacrifice. I can imagine some of the youth said, you know what, I'm going to buy this souvenir. I'm gonna buy this shirt. I see this book that I want to buy. But being of one mind and one accord, I want to give for the kingdom of God. I believe God's going to bless many times over what was given out of sacrifice that night. As we go on, Paul implored the Christians to work together with the same mind and the same judgment. He plainly told them there should be no divisions among them, and they should all speak the same thing. For this is God's will. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Certain men thought it was impossible to be saved without submitting to the ordinances of circumcision and keep the law of Moses. But Paul and Barnabas could not concur with this teaching. A meeting was called, and Peter was first to speak. Then after Peter had spoken, Paul and Barnabas was permitted to present their views. James made a concluding remark and proposed a solution. It seems good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent there for Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things. They were all, everybody that got up had something to say, but they were all thinking and they were all saying the same thing. There was no division there in the leadership. The problem was solved with the apostles and elders were assembled in one accord. Men who hazarded their lives for the name of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ were involved in the solution. The men were to communicate the findings in the similar work, speaking the same things. The apostles also had solicited the help of the Holy Spirit. The council at Jerusalem went on to provide necessary guidelines for solving difficult problems and preserving unity in the body of Christ. It was endeavoring. It was striving. It was them going out of the way that they felt like it was important enough to take out time. They all had things to do. They all had agendas, but said, brothers, we need to get together. We need to ratify this thing right now. We need to be of one mind and one accord, and we need to lead by example and teach one mind and one accord. This involves living a spirit-filled life. I remember the year I got the Holy Ghost, I remember going to the first men's conference up in Tinley Park, and I remember Brother Betchler, Pastor Bartlett, I just said, man, you know what? I got to come and see you, because I remember it was like a good 10 years before that. I remember going to my first youth convention, and I remember them asking, anybody that hasn't received the Holy Ghost in this place, would you stand? And I remember me and about 10 other people stood up, and I remember how little I felt and how kind of embarrassing, humiliating it was to stand up. But I remember going up and praying and seeking for the Holy Spirit. But I remember, I'll never forget the effort. He was a youth pastor at the time, and now he's a pastor of the church. He was under Brother Yance at the time. And they took time for their whole youth group to pray for me. And I got as far as stammering lips at one time, but that was it. And it was like many years later before I received the Holy Ghost. But I wanted to tell them that God filled me with the Spirit. And one of the things that I told them that I still believe today is the Holy Ghost isn't what I expected, but it was so much more than what I expected. As we live a Spirit-filled life and we let God work in us and through us, the Holy Spirit is not what we may expect. It may not be that indescribable feeling, but it's something that is going to teach us life. It's going to lead us and guide us in all truth. It is so much more. And I know that there's people that have lived many years living for God can testify. The Lord has shown, the Holy Spirit has leading me and guided me through things that I could not explain, that I could not understand. And that could not be thought of, or that cannot even be retained when God first filled you with the Holy Spirit. It's just something that you, when you have your daily walk, living in the Spirit. Prerequisites for the unity of the Spirit, lowliness and meekness. Lowliness refers to humility and the absence of high and lofty thoughts pertaining to oneself. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly in heart is something that we all need to strive to do. It is about dying to myself daily. And when we could want to brag on ourselves, or we could want to get in that conversation and kind of one-up somebody, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to die to myself and let that person kind of, you know, you want to win that argument. You want to kind of arm wrestle this conversation in your favor. That's fine. But today I'm going to die to myself, because God told me to wake up today and to die daily. Maybe you don't have, I got to deal with that quite often, to be honest with you. That's why I keep bringing it up all the time. But long-suffering and loving forbearance and patience. The Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. His long-suffering for us causes him to lovingly deal with our endeavors, to draw us towards him in relationship, a long-suffering relationship. Maybe it's a long-suffering trial or test that you're in. But it is a long-suffering relationship that he endured, that he's teaching us to endure for others, because we are in his stead, in Jesus' name. Living a Christian lifestyle. Paul encouraged the Philippians to let their conversation or manner of life be such as appropriate to the gospel of Christ. When Timothy read, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. In 2 Timothy 3:10, it says, he knew Paul's manners of life was all he possessed it to be. He led by example. The benefits and the unity in the faith. We must firmly resist the doctrines of individuals that conflict with Scripture and establish ourselves in the eternal trust of God's Word. I got thinking about this. We need each other. We need to stay strong and not waver. And to not waver means we need to be together every time the doors are open. And I got thinking about this I work with people that are on fire for God, and at times, but they don't have the fullness of truth. And he would all worked up, and he would love to worship. And I even worked with him, and I hear this man speak in tongues when I'm working beside him, but he doesn't have the fullness of truth. And he would try to strongly convince me and persuade me, and this was many years ago, you know what, you don't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need it. It's not essential. And he's a very strong-willed individual. And you know what, I just told him, I said, you know what, I love you, but I can't waver on this. I got brothers and sisters that I'm unified with that agree with the same thing. And I love you, but I can love you and still not agree with you, because I agree with everybody else that I come here with in the assembly every week. In Maj, this is the last day, things that we're speaking of. Jesus gave a clear warning of the danger that individuals may grow weak in their faith prior to his coming. And he asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall there be any faith on earth? For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And there are so many avenues and so many outlets to where we can hear a word of God. There's no power in it. It is a form of godliness. Having the power of the Holy Spirit evident in our life, having the power of the Holy Spirit being preached, having the power of the Holy Spirit when we worship in spirit and in truth, that's going to change lives. They're going to get a good sermon, and they're going to have some good nuggets to take with them, and it's going to sound great, but there's more. I remember speaking to a pastor of a local church and sharing with him my testimony when the door was open here, and I went to school with him. And he pastors a church on the north side of town. And I told him about being filled with the Spirit. And the door just opened to that. We never know when a conversation or where it's going to take us. And I told him that there is more. And he goes, you know what, I have friends also that speak in tongues that are filled with the Holy Spirit. But he wanted to stop me because that's all he can handle right there. That would cause a change. That would cause a change in his mindset. But you know what? What was said will never be forgotten. We have no idea where that's going to go from there. Where's he sitting at the coffee shop just thinking on, I have people that I know that are filled with the Holy Spirit and are speaking in tongues. I never done it, but I went to school with somebody in junior high and high school. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He speaks with tongues. And he told me that there was more. I stopped him, but the Lord is still working on me. We have no idea what people are dealing with, the people that we've been witnessing throughout the weeks, throughout the years. And even though you cannot see them here today, the Lord is dealing with them, I believe, right now. Because they know when church is. They know 10 o'clock the doors are open. I'm going to close with this thought, if we can stand. I need Brother Callum to stand up here with me. Brother Callum. Brother Bill. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. And after that, last year, Jake Arrieta, I don't know if you remember all the commercials, and one that stuck out of my mind, it was from State Farm. I need Brother Kim, he's getting him up here. He said, just some things go together. And it was a commercial about bundling home, life, and auto insurance. And it was the front porch and the big W. The flag being on the front porch. Thank you, Brother Alex. And I got thinking about this. Brother Wells, can you come up here and stand kind of between me and Brother Callum? Just yeah, right there. I got thinking about when Aaron and Hur got together, when Moses was getting tired, and they felt like they were getting defeated. But Aaron and Hur were thinking the same thing. They saw something maybe not everybody else saw. And when our pastor gets tired or when anybody else gets tired, that we're here to raise his hands. Because the victory is won. when we worship in one mind and one accord. One may be weak and one may be strong. Maybe we're just here to fill in the gaps for somebody. Maybe your calling isn't the same calling that you might have had before. God may be calling you into a different part in his kingdom to do something different. Maybe you can see somebody this morning that may not be as strong as they once was, maybe a month or a week ago, but you can lift them up in prayer. You can encourage them in word and deed in Jesus' name. I got thinking of the 18,000 that were there in the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky 4 years ago when 18,000 people were worshiping in one mind and one accord. And I saw the look on a staff worker's face. And he was looking around. He just threw his hands up in the air and said, "You know what? I can't stop this. This is too powerful." God anoints unity. And in Psalms 133, 1 and 2 says, "Behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yes. It is like the precious ointment on the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the shirts of his garments." And in the last verse, it says, "The Lord commanded a blessing." There is anointing. There is blessing in unity. God commands a blessing when we're unified. He's going to pour out a blessing when we're unified. That's why the enemy has been fighting us for so long. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We all have a specific calling. We all have a specific duty to do in the church, but it all takes every one of us working together. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Can we worship him in Jesus' name? Hallelujah.
Shipping.